You may be seated. Thank you once again, Flag Church, for continuing to invest, continuing to keep up with your monthly pledges that you've been making, and we've seen God still continuing to show up in miraculous ways, and we'll give you another update at the end of this month of how God has continued to show be faithful through this project. Hey, before we dive into God's Word, I just want to make one last announcement. The month of June is going to be looking different here at Flag Church. We believe in the investing in the next generation, and part of investing in the next generation, I know this is Pastor Eli's vision as well as our next gen pastor, and it's my vision, is to empower parents to be the spiritual leaders in their home. To empower parents to be the spiritual leaders in their home. And to do that, we're going to tweak it in June. June is going to be Family Service Month. That means we will not have kids ministry, but the kids will get to hang out with their parents in church. Because, and here's why, we think it's an amazing opportunity for kids to watch their parents worship, to watch their parents read scripture together, to pray, and to learn what it is to do church as a family. I don't know about you guys, but that's how I went to church. We all went to church together. And so I think it would be a great opportunity to teach our kids what a church means to, what it means to come as a family. And so the month of June, we'll have family-style service here on Sunday mornings. We will not have Wednesday night a midweek discipleship. That was something that we've done in the past, so that's nothing new. But the new thing is starting Sunday mornings in June, we'll have family-style. So just want to let you guys know so you could be thinking and planning with that as we head into June. This morning, we get to wrap up our series talking about prayer. And it's been so amazing just to see how God has moved through this series in the hearts and lives of people, where prayer has become a priority of the church. We say here at Flag Church, we're a praying church, we're a spirit-empowered church, and we're a missional church. Well, if we are a praying church, we need to be praying. If not, we can't say that we are a praying church, right? And so it has been encouraging just to see how you have embraced this concept of prayer. And for many, this is not a new concept, but for some, it is a new concept. And learning and growing through prayer. And God is doing a work. So, I know I've made you stand. But I was just thinking through this. I was like, I just made them stand, didn't I? But we always have started the series of prayer with praying the Lord's Prayer. So if you'd stand with me at this time, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together and praise God through it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Flag Church. Prayer. We've talked a lot about prayer and the altars of prayer. And if you've missed any of them, I encourage you to check it out on our website, on our Flag Church app. You can catch up by going to those sites. But prayer is the furnace of formation. It is the furnace of formation. Altars are a place of prayer. Altars are the place created to be like, to become like, and to do like Jesus did when he was on this earth. Altars open the space for us to encounter the presence of God, to have access to come and be in the presence of God, to have a face-to-face interaction with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that access was bought for us by his Son Jesus Christ when he came into this world and he went to the cross to die for you and me. Altars are an ancient thing. They've always existed. For many of us, altars are a new concept, but it is an ancient thing. For some of us, it is a new place and a new way of life. a new way and a new place and a new way of life. This past week, it was so encouraging. During the week, we had an individual that showed up. And he walked in and talked to Pastor Eli. And he's like, hey, is it okay if I came in here just to pray? I'm like, yeah, definitely. So I wasn't, I saw him walk in, but I was in a meeting. So I reached out to this gentleman afterwards. And he's like, hey, yeah. He said, hey, thank you. Thank you for giving us space to come to the altars, because I've been coming the last 3 weeks. But last week, God showed up and he touched me in a way that I've never been touched before. I experienced the presence of God in a way that I've never experienced him before. And so he was driving around town doing work, and he felt God nudge him and say, can you go back to that space that I met with you? Now, there's nothing supernatural about this space. God can meet you in any space, but God chooses sometimes to meet you in a space that transforms your life. And for him, it was that moment when he encountered the presence of God and he came back. He came back to that space to meet with God. And that is what altars do. It creates a space where we get to encounter the living God. Salvation is a decision that leads to discipleship and disciplines. Salvation is a decision that leads to disciplines in our lives and then leads to discipleship. Now, we hear the word discipleship, but a lot of times we kind of don't truly understand what discipleship is. Discipleship is a way of life lived and learned with Jesus and other believers. It's a lifestyle that we live. It's a way that we operate. We used to live this way. Then we met Jesus with salvation and the gift that is freely given to us. And then we start to walk with Jesus and do life with Jesus. And we become disciples of Jesus, where we start to live a new kind of life, a new way of life. We live the way Jesus lived. We do the things Jesus did, because he transforms us from the inside out. And that is a true believer. Water baptism, that fits into a place in there somewhere, but the water baptism is just a sign and an outward proclamation that, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But a lot of us, we kind of give our lives to Jesus, we get water baptized, and we stop. But that is not a true disciple. A true disciple is called to walk with Jesus. Prayer helps us do that. Prayer combined with time in his word is the starting point to this journey that God is calling us to live. I heard this statement the other day: pray like you can, not like you can't. A lot of us pray like we can't, and so we get burnt out and we go, oh, you know what, I'm not going to do this thing, because we have this elaborate idea of what prayer needs to look like. But what we need to understand with all what we've learned in the past few weeks is God is calling us to go on a journey. He wants you to take one baby step every day, and that's it. You pray like you can. Have a conversation like you can, not like you can't. So it's important that we continue to pray and to live out this life that God has called us to live out through the conduit of prayer. But even as we wrap up this series, there are questions that I think we wrestle with in our heads that I would like to address this morning. And some of those questions are, but God knows everything, so why pray? I mean, God knows everything. He knows my heart. He knows what I need. He knows what's happening in me, right? So why pray? What difference does it make? Does my prayer really matter? Why waste time praying? He's the God of this universe, right? If God wants to do something, he's going to do it anyway. He's going to do it anyway. Maybe it's just to make me feel better, right? But does it really change? Does it really change my life, or does it really change the circumstances in my surroundings, in my family, and in the world? Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, put it this way. He said, when I pray, coincidences happen. But when I don't, they don't. And it's not coincidences, it's God incidents. It's God incidents that happen. When I pray, God shows up. And when I don't, we get distant. So, does it really make a difference? Do I have a say in the matter? So I want us to read through Genesis. This is not going to be on the screen. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, starting in verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. And man, if you have a Bible at home and you don't have it here, bring it to church. It's a good way for you to get into God's Word and just discover what God is speaking to you. So Genesis 1, 26, and here's what it says. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image." And I want us to understand the word "us." It was a collaboration between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And we were made in the image of God. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Why did He choose to create us in His own image? So that we can be in conversation with the Father, so that we can communicate on the same wavelength, because we speak the same language, because we understand the way He understands. So we were created in His image to be in communion. He created us male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over, take care of, steward over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for you, your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all He had made, and He said, "It was very good." He has given us authority. He has given us the responsibility of stewarding. But when we look at this scripture, what we see here is that we see that there is constant collaboration that is happening. In the creation story, we see a collaboration between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit coming together to create this world. They made it in such a way that some of the most important things that they wanted to do in this world, the most important things that they wanted to do in this world would happen through human agency. That is us. Would happen through us. A collaboration that began with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that will continue now through the human agency that was created here on this earth. We are made in His image to be in collaboration, to be stewards, to rule, to reign His world that He created to reflect Him to the world. You and I are conduits of God's working in this world to bring order, to bring beauty, to bring His glory into this world. And this concept was reintroduced to us through Jesus. When Jesus stepped into this world, because that human agency was kind of broken because of sin. So Jesus said, "Hey, guess what? I'm going to step into this world. Hey, tech team, I'm going to lose my voice come second service. If you can kind of bump me up, I feel like I'm having to yell." Whoa, I got hot. So I'll let you manage that. But human agency was created. And then there was this thing called sin that broke it. But Jesus stepped into this world. And He came in to bring His kingdom to this world. Okay? His kingdom into this world. And guess what He did? He said, when He left, He said, "I'm giving you a way to pray. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in Where? Heaven. Lord's Prayer, right? I'm going to swap to the handheld, guys.
One, two, check. Ah, that sounds much better. Now I don't have to scream and lose my voice. But what we see here is that he changed that and he said, hey, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth. And so every time we pray this prayer, he has given us access to bring his kingdom here on earth. When we pray, we become conduits of what God is trying to do here on this earth. And he wants to use us to accomplish that. And so we need to understand that God is not a dictator, but a collaborator. God is not a dictator, but a collaborator. He wants to be in partnership. My prayer does matter. My prayer loves me to be in conversation. God said, let there be. Let there be light. Let there be. God has given creation, you and me, the freedom to create and bring beauty. Does that excite you? That God has given you the freedom to create and bring beauty into this existence. Let me help you understand this. I don't know how many of you have been a part of an orchestra where you played an instrument. Maybe you were one of those individuals that played an instrument that brought music. And you see, in an orchestra, we have various players that play different instruments. Combination of those instruments create this beautiful melody. Or maybe you've been a part of a sports team where you, maybe let's use football for instance, you played on a team, and you know in a football team we have different positions, right? And every position is important, and when those positions come together, there is an outcome that most likely is what we want to see is a win. But in both of these situations, we have, in an orchestra, we have a conductor. And in a football team, we have a head coach. And if you pay attention, if you watch these two things happening, you will notice that people that are playing in the orchestra every often look up to the conductor to see where they're headed. We watch in football, the team members, mainly the quarterback, is constantly looking at the head coach to receive the calls that they need, right? But even though they are receiving these signals and calls, as the game progresses and as they are playing it, because they're called to play it, the conductor doesn't play the instrument, the head coach doesn't play the game, they have the freedom within those boundaries, within the restraints that they've been given, to create music and to create beauty. They have the freedom to create what they would like to see. We see in football, they may call a play, but the quarterback may see something and he's allowed to make changes and create some amazing plays. But what we see here is this constant connection with the conductor or the head coach of a team. And that is the exact same way when we look at prayer. You and I are part of this team, this human agency that God has placed here. And he's called us to be in constant communion, to look to him, to get our cues from him. But he still gives us the freedom to create something beautiful. When God said, let there be, and he gave us the freedom to create, we see advancement in life. We see advancement in the medicine field. We see advancement in technology. We see advancement in communication. There are amazing things that are happening because human agency is creating beautiful things. Now, keep in mind, these exact same things that are created to bring beauty can also bring chaos. Because the moment we stop looking at the commander-in-chief to get our instructions, the same thing that was created for beauty, like communication, like technology, maybe medicine, starts to now work against human agency. And you all have examples of that happening. And so understand that we're in this collaboration with God. We are put here to create beauty in this place. We're called to collaborate, to create beauty, but we have to be in constant prayer. The beauty of prayer is to stay in conversation, collaboration, and connectedness with the director and the architect of this world. What would that look like every day in your life? How would that shift every day in your life? What would that look like in this world if we did that? See, understand that the Trinity was involved in creation and now is involved in managing that creation, but God wants to do that work. He started that work through Jesus when he sent his son into this world to reestablish order. And now he's continuing that work through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And when we are in communion with the Holy Spirit through prayer, we are in conversation with the Father and we become conduits of what God's plan is for this creation. And we see that in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. They think about sinful things that are not in alignment with God. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that pleases the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. And this is why last week we spent so much time focusing and praying for the freeing of the mind to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because our mind, in the collaboration with the Holy Spirit, starts to be in conversation with the Father. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And how do we do that? Through prayer. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Think about that. The sinful nature, a person that is not in prayer, a person that is not in relationship with the Father, a person that is totally ignoring the plan of God, is constantly in what? Hostile to God. Distant. Separated. It never ends, it's hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Prayer opens the lines of communication. Prayer helps us to communicate with the Holy Spirit, who is here to help us to collaborate with the Father so that the will of the Father may be accomplished in and through us, and human agency can create beauty first for ourselves and then for others. Prayer, the conversation that happens between us and the Holy Spirit, the conversation that then happens between the Holy Spirit and God to bring change into our lives, our desires versus God's desires, kingdom desires versus worldly desires. Partnership involves conversation and connectivity. The collaboration of our spirit with the Holy Spirit gives us promptings on how we should pray, what we should pray, when we should pray, who we should pray for. Man, there is power in prayer. Let me tell you, if you would just take time to pray, you'd be surprised how many times God will prompt you on what to do, or how many times he will prompt you on who to pray for. You might get this person's name in your head and you'd be like, whoa, and you might text them and say, hey, I'm just thinking of you right now. I felt like God wanted me to, and immediately they text you back, and how did you know, man, I really needed that. Huh. It's called the Holy Spirit working on behalf of us. When our spirit aligns with him in prayer, we start to see change happen. You're not just going through life daily checking off the box, but God says there is power that comes in prayer. When two or three are gathered, I am there. When you start praying with others, when you pray by yourself with the Holy Spirit, there is power that starts to happen. Prayer opens the door for the symphony of heaven to be brought into reality through the conduit of human agency. The beauty of heaven to make its way into this world, and where we see beauty that emerges out of ashes. Where we think something is falling apart and is breaking and it has no hope, and we start to pray life into it. Because the beauty of heaven starts to emerge into that situation. If that is a marriage, If that is a child that is struggling, if that is a health situation, if that is your finances, if that is relationships, if that is your community, if that is your boss at work, you name it. If that is a hurtful situation that has happened to you in the recent time, maybe a loss of a loved one, whatever it is, a doctor that has said, hey, there's no hope in this situation, whatever it is, prayer enters that space and starts to transform it. So does prayer move God to take action? Does He? When I pray, God seems distant and sometimes does not answer my prayer. So why pray? God seems so distant. Let me unpack that a little bit, and you may not be excited with what I'm getting ready to say, but prayer is primarily relational and not efficient. Like, whoa, what do you mean? Prayer is primarily relational and not efficient. Jesus followers, keep in mind, disciples of Jesus, not just people that say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but don't follow in His footsteps. But disciples of Jesus are the only people that pray and don't get the desired results and still keep praying. And there's a reason for that. It is inefficient. Doesn't fall into the efficiency category that the world defines. It is aimed to create intimacy with God. It is aimed to create intimacy with God, not just to get what you want. To grow in deep intimacy, intimate friendship with God. It's a conversation that happens that creates this friendship with God. Not to use God to get what I want. And a lot of times we show up when we need something, like, I'm going to pray so God will answer my prayer so I can get what I want. It's not that way. It is inefficient from the world's standpoint. It is inefficient from the world's standpoint. It is not, prayer is not selfish and self-seeking. Think about that. Prayer is not selfish and self-seeking. But the world is always about being selfish and self-seeking. If you were to use an agency on this earth, it would be marriage. Marriage is fundamentally inefficient. And that is why we struggle with it. That is why there is broken marriages constantly. Because it is inefficient. The more time we spend in the midst of unmet expectations, but yet growing in intimacy. How does that work? When God's in the middle of it, it works. Unmet expectations, but growing in intimacy. If marriage was fundamentally efficient, I'd be looking for different partners every time my partner fails me. And I'll keep looking and eventually be bitter and lonely. And that's the exact same thing that happens in our spiritual walk. We don't get what we want. We don't get what we want, so we stop praying. Eventually, we end up being bitter with God and distant from God. The human heart longs for relationship. To pray Jesus' way is distinctly relational, meaning the rewards of prayer is not the result, but the relationship. It is the relationship. It's the peace that I get from God. It is the joy that He brings into my life in the midst of chaos. It's the hope that I have in hopeless situations when the results are still the same, but there is a hope that starts to emerge that doesn't make sense because it's not from this world. It's from a heavenly world that brings beauty into ashes. Prayer is a conduit of God's plan. This passage of scripture is not on the screen. I just feel like God wanted to go here this morning, so I'm going here. But in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, here's what it says. But those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. Those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Understand those who wait on the Lord, meaning in prayer, we're waiting on God. And sometimes God answers your prayer immediately and you soar on wings like eagles. But sometimes God says, you know what? No, I need you to keep running, but I will give you the strength to keep running and you will not grow weary. And then sometimes God says, you know what? I need you to keep walking. It's going to be a long journey. But trust me, you will not faint because I am there with you. And those who wait, but when we give up on the Lord, then yes, we start to crumble and fall. Man, there are so many stories that I can share right now this morning of God's answered prayer and beautiful stories that I would love to share. But man, God is so faithful. There are times that we are praying for a certain outcome or direction, and God takes these prayers and He's doing something else that is much better for us. You may not get the outcome you're looking for, but God says, I have a better outcome. Jesus did the same thing when He prayed, and He cried out to the Father and He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you left me here by myself on this cross? And he was crying out to the Father. But Jesus answered his prayer. But with a bigger impact. With a bigger impact. He allowed Jesus to walk through that season. And through the cross, he did the most extraordinary thing that the world had ever seen. He brought the redemption story. He brought the exchange for you and me. He brought the great reversal that we talked about in Easter because of Jesus. But here's what he did. After Jesus went through that season, he took Jesus and placed him at the right hand of the Father. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And he was not abandoned. And my friends, this morning, Jesus is saying the same thing to you. He's saying, man, because Jesus walked through that season, you were an orphan. You were rejected. Sin had severed your relationship with the Father, but he brought you back into a relationship. You are not abandoned. You are sons and daughters of the living God. It is a choice that we have to step into that. And so there is a change that happens. So the question, should I pray the bold prayer without skirting around the issues? Should I pray and believe and keep praying? Yes, because those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. He has an amazing plan for you. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. His thoughts are not my thoughts. Neither are the ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It may not make sense to you right now, but God's saying continue to pray. Because I have a beautiful plan. A plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Prayer is not the place that I understand God's will and ways perfectly. But prayer is the place that I learn to trust perfectly the character of God that I am praying to. Where I trust His faithfulness. Where I trust His provision. Where I trust His healing. Where I trust in the seasons that doesn't make sense to me. Not saying, hey, you know what? Man, I didn't get what I was looking for, but I trust you, God, in this season. And I'm going to continue to pray and I'm going to continue to be there. So as we land this plane, understand, Flag Church, that each one of us, we've been given authority. You and I have been given authority to rule and to reign and to bring His kingdom
into reality through prayer in my life first, in your life first, and then in everyone we come in contact with. And the kingdom of God is so beautiful. The kingdom of God is here now in partiality, and it will be here in the fullness when Jesus shows back up at the second coming. But it is already here, and the way that people see the kingdom of God here is through you and me. And the way they see it is through prayer. If you are struggling to see the kingdom of God in your life, I would say maybe you're not praying. But when you start to pray, when you start to be in conversation, when you start to be in communion with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, let me tell you, the kingdom of God starts to show up in your heart and in your life. And it starts to shift. There is a change that starts to happen. When you come to the altar, the outcomes are different. Here's what you need to understand. Whoever controls the altar controls the outcome. Whoever controls the altar controls the outcome. The question this morning, who is controlling your altar? There's only two answers to that. If God is in control of your altar because you're spending time in prayer with Him, focusing on Him, trusting Him, the outcomes will be God's plans, God's will. If God is not in control of your altar, I know this is not something we like to hear, but the devil is in control of your altar. And it's his plans and his outcome. If you are not on your knees at the altar, your personal altar, your community altar, your salvation altar, your miracle altar, the things that we've talked about, if you're not constantly seeking God, then someone else is in control of your altar. And he's directing your life. He's directing your path. He's directing the outcome of your life, the results of your life. He is in control. And the scripture says that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life to the fullest. Who is in control of your altar this morning? Would you stand with me? Here's my question. Who will know Jesus because you prayed? Who will know Jesus because you prayed? Will you know Jesus on a personal level this year because you prayed? How would your relationship with Jesus look like at the end of 2024? Would it be more vibrant and excited because you prayed? So here's what I'm going to do this morning as we get ready for worship. I'm going to have my elders make their way to the front. If you're an elder here, please make your way to the front and your spouses. But we did this last week. I'm going to open the altars again. I'm going to invite you to come. There's two invitations this morning. I'm going to invite you just to come to the altar. Come to the altar just to pray. Just to be in the presence of God. Just to surrender to Him in whatever area. Maybe you have a struggle. Maybe you have a need. You want to just spend time. You just don't have peace in your heart right now. There may be some anxiety, some worries, some concerns, and you want to come. But I also want to make available elders this morning, because we spoke about this last week. If you have a healing need that you need God to heal your mind or your physical body, I want you to come find one of these elders. And what are they going to do? They're going to ask you how they can pray for you. They're going to anoint you with oil. And they're going to stand in the gap and believe and pray with you for God to move in your situation, for God to bring healing and restoration. So before we even start worship, would you make your way to the altar this morning? Would you come find a spot where you can just spend time with God? Let's go. This is your time to come spend time with God. I invite you to come to the altar. Let's not be hesitant. Would you come? And keep in mind, an altar is a safe place. You're not coming because you have some grave sin. You're coming because you want to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is stopping you from making your way to the altar this morning? Would you come? Would you come find a spot where you can just pray and spend time and experience His presence?
God wants to meet with you this morning. I've heard stories in life groups where people say, man, I don't know if I come. I've thought of coming, but man, sometimes when I think of coming, there's this anxiety that comes upon me. What will people think? What are they going to think about me? Are they going to think that I have some grave sin? Let me tell you, if you're having those thoughts right now, that is the enemy prompting you not to go meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So would you make your way to the altar? Come find a spot. Maybe it's for your marriage. Maybe it's for your kids. Maybe it is a situation that you're struggling with. Maybe you need some direction this morning. I want you to come find a place. Lead us out, worship team. Lead us out.